Let's open our Bibles to Psalms 84. And while you're turning there, I want to bring back an old story that I've told before that I just kind of love because I think this is where a lot of people are right now. This is about Chippy the parakeet. He was a happy bird, content to sitting on his perch, just swinging and singing. And then one day, Chippy's owner started to clean out his cage. She took the attachment off the end of the vacuum hose to just clean out the bottom of the cage. Then the phone rang. She got distracted to pick up the phone and accidentally sucked up Chippy in the hose. She dropped the phone, ripped open the bag to find Chippy laying in the dust, alive but dazed. She ran him to the bathroom, blasted him with running water from the sink, and he nearly drowned. Then she reached for the hairdryer and blasted him with hot air. Now the owner said, "Chip doesn't sing anymore. He just sits there and stares off into space." And I was thinking, that's the way a lot of people are today. They've been so blasted from one thing after another. They walk around just, you look at people in the grocery store and they don't smile. You know, people have lost their song. And that's one thing we have to do is we have to keep the joy of the Lord. I've been teaching my granddaughter, a friend in school of hers, day camp, was saying, "I don't want to be your friend anymore." And she said, "Well, I'm not going to lose my joy," because I'd taught her before, you can't let the devil steal your joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And that's such a simple Bible teaching, but it's still the truth, that when he gets our joy, he gets us. So we have to keep our joy, even in the midst of hard times and the blasts of life. Because this little bird just got blasted from one thing, the vacuum to the hairdryer to everything. And even in Minnesota, I was sharing this earlier, we passed some new rules. Did you guys see that in Minnesota, how the new climate thing's going to happen and all the change? Minnesota has to be first, you know. And it's very sad. But these are the agendas that we've been preaching about since 2016, 2015. And I just encourage you all to go back to those older YouTubes because some of the things on there, I don't know if I'd even dare say them now, if they'll be taken down or what. But it's harder and harder to get the truth out. There's more and more censoring, and we have to try to be wise. And I know there's shadow banning, and there's all sorts of stuff going on. But I think this is the most important thing we can do, is to share truth, expose the evil, and walk on the narrow path. This is one of the most important things that we can do, is share truth. And do your own research. Don't just let other people tell you things. Make sure if you're sitting under a Bible teacher that you make sure that what he's preaching is the Bible. Because back in the day that all the movements we came out of, they just write books and we'd read their books. We stopped reading the Bible. We just read their books and then what they said about the Bible. We don't do that anymore, right? So Psalms 84, are you there? Let's turn there. Psalms 84 in verse 5. We're just going to be encouraged tonight to keep our hearts right, to keep our joy in the midst of our race. We're running a race. It's not a club we're in. We're in a race. And we have to do the finish line, right? We have to go to the finish line. Verse 5, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca," make it a well. We're going to talk a little bit about that valley because we're walking in the valley of the shadow of death, aren't we? This earth and this world is not going according to God's design. And that's why he told us not to love the world. Because this world is being set up for the beast system. And it has been for a long time. But it seems like things are really speeding up. The federal now digital currency got passed yesterday. Very few people are talking about it. Instead, we're being distracted with this and that and indictments and all. There's just a circus out there. So we got to stay focused. And once you see what the agendas are, it's really easy to see through the smoke and through the mirrors in the clown show. But this is the valley of Baca, and we're supposed to make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. And I was just thinking about how the evil people are going to be thrown into the lake of fire. But that's not you. We are not going to be thrown in the lake of fire if we accept him, right? So we have eternity to look forward to. And as hard it is when people die, I mean, it's terrible, it's hard, it wasn't God's design. But when they pass, you have to say, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Because they're going to their eternity, their rewards. They're going into before the presence of God. And they're out of the valley of Baca. They're out of that valley now. Now they're in eternity with him. And they'd never come back if they could, right? Even though it's hard, we all have to die to go there. So he says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, verse 10, than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield, and the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is a man that trusts in thee. And that's, we have to be like those virgins that are filled with oil, and that oil is trusting in God. Trusting in God. In these main Christianity things, what they're doing is they're trying to separate you from the Bible, from the morals that God's given us, from our conscience, all these different things. But we're not ignorant of the devil's devices, are we? So our journey isn't always a pleasant one. And that's why I think it's good to preach on grief. It's good to preach on different things because it's emotions that we feel in this life. In some of the faith movement, they would go, you're never going to have another sad day in your life. I want to say, liar, liar, liar. And they go to funerals like it's a celebration. And it's like, you know, when someone just lost their son, that's sad. And you got to let people grieve. And grief is something that they think is demonic. It's not, but it's part of life. They did it in the Old Testament. They went sackcloth and ashes. Grieving is a part of life. And you need to grieve well. Because when my mom died, I didn't grieve. I didn't know how to grieve. We just kind of lived in denial. We were just kids. And the funeral was weird. I mean, I never had went to a funeral. That was the first funeral I had ever been to. And I didn't know how to really cry and grieve. It was so funny. My sister goes, now don't get emotional at this funeral. She's the one that got emotional and screamed and cried and carried on. But later, years later, I started crying and grieving when all my friends had their mothers around. All the pastors had their mothers, and I never allowed myself to grieve. And that's why I say sometimes we have to, when the tears come, when the sorrow's there, give it over to the Lord. Cry it out. And then you'll find out later, as you grieve through it, it's better. If you don't grieve, it comes back on you later, and it comes out sideways. So when my dad died, I grieved. I grieved every time I saw him and I saw he was weaker and sad. I allowed myself, in spite of the teaching I'd heard, I allowed myself to grieve because that's part of life and you'll get back on track faster if you really allow yourself to feel the grief, give it to the Lord and, you know, just cry it out, whatever you have to do and don't feel bad about it. So our journey isn't always an easy one. We're seeing a lot of things in our world. We pass through the valley of Baca. And here it says pass through. We don't want to park. Because when we park, we build a house, we build a tent, something bad happens and we just build something around it and we just stay there. And God doesn't want us to. Even our failures, we can't build a tent around our failures. We've all missed it. We all look back and say, I wish I would have known that now. I wish I would have known that I was open to this or I would have fallen for that. But that's part of who you are now. And that's all we can do is move forward for what we've learned. And if we go backwards, we're going to get discouraged because you're just going to see where you failed. And everyone's failed. We've all failed. We've all missed it. So we don't want to park. We want to pass through. And to park means you stay there for a long period of time. I knew this one girl that her dad died and she wouldn't move on. She refused. She thought that if she wasn't grieving, that she wasn't showing her dad she loved him. And this was years. She was going on and on, wouldn't eat, wouldn't, it was just, and everyone knew something was wrong, but she wouldn't get over it. And there comes a time where you have to let things go. You have to move on, or it's not healthy. So there's a grieving that's, and everyone's going to grieve differently. No one can tell you, well, it's over now. It's kind of like volcanoes, it's in earthquakes. It's like someone dies and then you'll get a little quake. It's like, oh, I thought I was over that, but a birthday will bring it back, or a picture will bring it back. That's all natural stuff. And you have to just know we're emotional. God's made us emotional, and it's okay. But you don't want to stay too long. And sometimes people stay long because they want self-pity. They want people to feel sorry for them. And that's not healthy either. So grief is another whole subject. I wasn't going to get on that, but why is this so important here? Baca was the garbage dump. It was a place that they threw all their garbage outside of Jerusalem. It's where all the trash went, all the dead animals went. It was like a big city dump, and it stunk. So what does it represent, or what could it represent? To me, it's a place, it says it is a place of weeping. And in this world, we're going to have tears. And we've all shed our tears. And it could represent where we missed it, a place of hurt and pain. Sometimes we have to play with pain. Like the old football players, they would tape it up and go out and play in the game. And sometimes as Christians, we got to tape it up and go play in the game. I preach sad. I preach grieving when I've lost my grandma and had to preach, and some friends betrayed us at the same time. And, oh, it was tough. But we push through those times, right? And we all have them. In the faith movement, you all pretend like we all pretended like we never had a problem. Nothing was ever wrong. I mean, it was talk about denial, an unhealthy denial. God didn't call us to live in denial. We face our pain. We face the rejection in Him, right? This Baca place was a, we could say it's a woulda, coulda, shoulda place. If you ever went there, woulda, shoulda, coulda, shoulda done that. Oh, I wish I woulda done that. Woulda. And that becomes a dry place, a place of drought. You feel unloved and ignored. And what does He tell us to do? He tells us not to park, dig a well. It takes effort to dig. And we have to dig to come out of our emotions sometimes. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. This is a day He's made, even though I don't feel like it. I want to stay in bed. I'm going to get up. I'm tired. I'm tired of the news. I'm tired of Christians that don't want to hear the truth. I'm tired of Christians that are worldly. They've turned their back on God, and now they think they're in a club, not a race, right? Got to keep going forward. Regardless of what other people do, we have to run our race, and we can't run someone else's race. We can't have someone on the potter's wheel. Oh, I was good at that back in the day. Just, we have to let things go that we can't control. Now this, we all have expectations. I always thought we'd live in Florida when I retired. I thought we were going to, that's the last place I'm going to go now after what's all going on there now. They're saying, don't come here. We don't want you. There's no more room. But, you know, you kind of always thought you were going to do this, or your kids were going to do this, or this was going to happen. And then it doesn't measure your expectations. So sometimes we have to adjust our expectations. And what we expected and what we got didn't match up. And then we're disappointed. And one thing I've learned, and I was talking to people this week, you can't control who your children marry. Your parents couldn't control who you married. We can't control them. All we can do is raise them the best way, and sometimes they trip and fall just like you did. We made mistakes. They're going to make mistakes, but God brought you through, right? Even today, the fellowship of finding true believers is harder and harder, but God brings us through, right? So here's a, well, 1 Peter 5:7. Let's read this. 1 Peter 5:7. And then I'm going to read to you Let It Go. It's a message. I changed it a little bit because I didn't like the way it was reading it. But 1 Peter 5, 7. Oh, let's look at verse 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourself unto the elder. We need to submit to our elders and love old people. Tim and I, we love old people. Miss my grandparents, and people that are older have wisdom to share. Instead of just shuffling them off and no one visits them, we need to submit to the elder. Let them tell their story again if they need to, right? But all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud. I wonder what he thought of Pride Month. God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. How do we do that? How do we humble ourselves? By casting our care. Proud people won't cast their cares. They carry them. Boy, this is heavy. Cast all your cares upon him. That's how we humble ourselves. For he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He can devour us if we get in pride. We get offended, and we get haughty, and we get proud, and we don't ever want to talk to that person again. Well, there's some people you need to let go, but there's other people that you need to be there when they repent, right? So we got to constantly keep our heart in check. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. We're in the world. To preach a gospel that says nothing bad's going to ever happen to us is a false gospel. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into eternal glory by Jesus Christ, that when you have suffered a while, boy, this is a scripture I used to love to preach on because nobody wants to suffer. But he said, after we suffer a while, he's going to make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. In the Greek, that means to endure hardships and trouble. If you read the Bible, they face trouble. They face trials and trouble. Okay, let me read this to you. So think about casting our cares. That means turning it over. And sometimes it's good to pray out loud. Lord, I give this to you, and then we have a string, and then we take it back. I give it to you again. Take it back. Well, however many times it takes for you to give it to him, cast all your cares, that word means anxieties, your worries, your concerns, turn them over to him. Now, this is called let it go, but I like to say cast it, because scripturally, but you know, people used to always say, well, let it go. I'm like, how do you let it go? Tell me how to let it go. Just let it go. You got to humble ourselves, cast it on the Lord, release it to him, however many times it takes. Okay, so there are people who can walk away from you. When people can walk away from you, let them walk. I don't want you to try to talk another person into staying with you, loving you, calling you, caring about you, coming to see you, staying attached to you. I mean, hang up the phone. Today we'd say block them. In our old school, we used to take our Brennonians, we used to call it, and scratch people out of the, you know, the pictures. You know, you don't like that person, you'd block them out. Well, today, they have a whole thing, unfriending and all that. Very few people are on Facebook anymore. Have you noticed it's really went down? Because so much advertising is there, so much. It's just sad, yeah. But anyway, hang up the phone. Or block them, whatever you got to do. Let them go. It doesn't mean that they are bad people. And you've got to know when people's part in your story is over so that you don't keep trying to raise the dead. Amen. You've got to know when it's dead. Have you ever hung on too long when you knew you weren't supposed to and then you become an enabler? You've got to know when it's over. Stop begging people to stay. Let them go. If you're holding on to something that doesn't belong to you and was never intended for your life, then you need to let it go. 1 Peter 5:7, I'd say pray. Turn it over to God. Ask for wisdom. Lord, help me. Help me release this. I can't carry this. We all face things that are hard to bear, and we can't really keep our focus on that, or you just live in pain. You stay in that valley of Baca because you just are so hurt, right? So if you're holding on to past hurts and pains, cast it on the Lord, let it go. If someone can't treat you right, love you back, and see your worth, let them go. I used to enable abusers. I didn't know I was, but I was used to abuse because that's what my dad was, alcoholic home. That's kind of what you're used to. You're not used to getting support. So you just kind of go through life without it. And then you get saved, and sometimes you still see the same, you're drawn to the same abuse. You wonder why people go to abusive pastors, because they had abusive fathers. If someone has angered you, what does the Bible say? Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. That doesn't mean you aren't angry, but you're not supposed to get revengeful. That's a word. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. If you're holding on to some thoughts of evil and revenge, let it go. If you're involved in a wrong relationship or an addiction, boy, and I see more Christians addicted to things now. The devil wants to alter your feelings, alter your personality, alter with all these things. And now what's coming to Minnesota August 1st is all this marijuana stuff. It's going to be another whole bag of worms. Just keep away from anything you know is not good for you. I don't care who says it's good or not. You've got to make sure that you're staying sane in an insane world. Oh, if you have a bad attitude, you know you do. Let it go. It's not going to help you. If you keep judging others to make yourself feel better, let it go. If you keep trying to help someone who won't even help themselves, let them go. If you're feeling depressed and stressed out, which we all get at times to times, we got to dig. We got to dig. We got to go and find our joy again. Say, the devil, you're not going to steal my joy. Might not find it for a few days, but I'm working on it. Right? If there's a particular situation that you're so used to handling yourself and God is saying, take your hands off it, then you need to take your hands off it. Let the past be the past. Forget the former things. The battle is the Lord's. Sometimes we have to kind of come into that situation and say, Lord, this is your battle. And the person that I'm praying for, they're really fighting against you. It's not really against me. It's against you. It's against the Lord. Psalms 55:22. Cast thy burden, and it's a burden, upon the Lord, and he will sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be shaken. Yeah. And lastly, Habakkuk, if you can find it. That's a hard one. It's on page 1458. 3:8, actually. Now, this is about Habakkuk, and he's complaining because he sees all the wickedness in the world, and he doesn't see that God's doing anything. Have you ever wondered why God doesn't stop this? God's given us free will, and he's given the evil people free will, and it's going to play out. And Habakkuk's first complaint was, why does the evil in Judah go unpunished? And God's answer was, the Babylonians will punish Judah. Think of that. The Babylonians will be punished in chapter 2 and verse 20, and faith will be rewarded. Our faith will be rewarded. We have to run our race, even though it doesn't look like we're winning sometimes. Looks like our children aren't going to serve God, or our grandchildren, or finances. All the things that are going on with all this climate stuff and the way they want to get rid of gas and all this stuff. I just read in our newspaper that how are they going to pay for all this? By raising our utility and gas bills. How nice. I was kind of like, yeah, that's a valley of Baca. I don't really, I had to dig a well before I preached, because I was like, that is not exciting at all. But I knew this was coming because I've studied the agendas. I knew about the wood stoves years ago. Now they want to take out gas generators. It takes some time, but just so you know, we need to know what our enemy is up to so that we can keep our torch lit, so we can keep running our race, right? And lastly here, in Habakkuk, he was praying. And this is of a lot of people. I get letters. I just love my letters, my snail mail. And people are going through things. Financially, mentally, physically, all these different things. And this is a good scripture to remind us all when we're going through the valley. Although the fig tree shall not blossom. I heard that Florida's really having a hard time getting oranges. I mean, it was our orange state. And now the orchards are not producing. We had some Georgia peaches. A guy from Georgia, we usually get our peaches there. They were not good peaches. The pits were rotten, and it was just like, wow, he had a bad crop. We can all relate to this verse. Neither shall fruit be in the vines, and the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. Now you know about meat. They're bringing in the lab meat, the eat meat, the all the different things about what's going on with our food. And the Bible tells us that in the end times, what? They're going to attack the meat and they're going to attack marriages. Just think how God saw all this before. He wrote the Bible, but he saw the end from the beginning. I mean, just kind of, wow. And the field shall yield no meat. Think of all the farmers and all the countries that there's no rain. We're in a drought right now. It's a yin-yang. Well, they like to do that, the balance, you know, give some half the country drought and the other one flood them. Oh, yeah. The field shall yield no meat, and the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet, what do we rejoice in? I will. It's a choice. I don't feel like it. I'm upset. I'm angry. But yet, I will. I choose. I have a free will. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me walk upon high places. To the chief singer of my stringed instruments. Father, we know we're living in a time. I just wanted to encourage people tonight, today, or wherever they're listening. There's some things we can't carry. They're too heavy for us. And the battle is yours. Help us, Lord, through our troubles, our trials, our hurts, our fears. So many things are going on in the world, and we don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And because you live, we can face tomorrow. Because you live, all fear is gone. I loved that song when I first got saved. And again, that's where we stand. Because you live, we can face tomorrow. We can face the valleys. Because you're with us. You said you're never going to leave. Even when we've let you down, you're still there. You said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. So, Father, we thank you for encouraging people, wherever they're at, whatever country they're listening, that we'll rejoice. And today is the day that you have made. And we choose to rejoice and be glad. Even though our feelings might not feel like it, we choose to serve you. We refuse to serve the devil and his bunch. And we keep our eyes on the author and the finisher. You're the one that got us into this race. And we thank you, Father, for carrying us through to the end until we all cross the finish line. We thank you, Father, for wisdom. We thank you for endurance. Whatever we may face tomorrow, we thank you, you'll be there, Lord. Giving us the strength, helping us through whatever we have to go through one day at a time. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death, which is this world. This world is lost without you. So we pray, Father, for the most important thing, that people would see you in this day and hour, that they would turn to you And Father, I pray for preachers that are called that they would stand, and having done all to stand, they wouldn't compromise with all of the things that they want the churches to compromise. But people can still find a place that teaches the gospel. That's the most important thing. That's our hope. It's our only hope. You are our hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen?
Amen.
If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison. Her backup channel, Roberta Morrison 2, the number 2, and on the Living in His Presence Church website, where you can access the messages on the top center of the main webpage. There are free audio downloads of the messages. We are viewer supported. On the main webpage at the top right is a give button. Thank you for watching, and see you next time.